From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament, currently dealing with the second epistle of Peter. Even at this early period in the church's history, false teachers had arisen who sought to corrupt the pure teachings of the gospel. Peter exhorted the new believers to remember the basic truths of Christianity and to adhere to them. As the apostle made clear in this letter, false doctrine leads inevitably to unclean living, so he takes great pains to clarify the true faith of the gospel. The mark of apostates is their denial of the cardinal doctrines of Christianity. The foundation of the gospel is the Word of God, and every teaching must be measured against the standard of Holy Scripture. Apostates may be recognized by certain characteristics, including denial of the lordship of Christ, making the gospel an excuse for sin, and advocating friendship with the world, to name a few. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, The Challenge of Apostasy. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Right to Holy Things. The text is Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 11. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it, and he that is born in his house, they shall eat of his meat. Strangers, sojourners, and servants upon hire were not to eat of holy things. It is so in spiritual matters still. But two classes were free at the sacred table, those who were bought with the priest's money, and those who were born into the priest's house. Bought and born, these were the two indisputable proofs of a right to holy things. Bought, our great high priest has bought with a price all those who put their trust in him. They are his absolute property, altogether the Lord's. Not for what they are in themselves, but for their owner's sake, they are admitted into the same privileges which he himself enjoys, and they shall eat of his meat. He has meat to eat which worldlings know not of. Because ye belong to Christ, therefore shall ye share with your Lord. Born. This is an equally sure way to privilege. If born in the priest's house, we take our place with the rest of the family. Regeneration makes us fellow heirs and of the same body. And therefore the peace, the joy, the glory which the Father has given to Christ, Christ has given to us. Redemption and regeneration have given us a double claim to the divine permit of this promise.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth all wealth of the world in his hands. Child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast stranger.
sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Man, it's wonderful what people accept nowadays by views and visions. All this anecdotal nonsense where you get somebody, I don't know if they're high on drugs or if their stomach has been giving them problems or if they have just a vivid imagination or if they're just plain downright liars. But, I mean, I have heard people and they have told about their dreams and their visions and God told them this and God told them that. You have in this country the Kansas prophets. They're out telling people. You've all the Signs and Wonders Brigade. And how do we know that they're of God? Well, I have this vision. What they don't have is Scripture. What they're afraid to come to is Scripture. It doesn't matter whether it is I or any other preacher. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. The old Reformation statement still holds good. Sola Scriptura. By Scripture alone do we establish gospel truth. So he says, remember the faith and the foundation of it. But remember, there's a fight for the faith. A lot of Christians want to sit back and say, let's all be friends. That's the tenor of the age. Very difficult nowadays to build a separatist church that's willing to fight. I mean, if you criticize, what you're told now, don't judge anybody. When I speak against the charismatics, there'll always be somebody get mad. You shouldn't do that. If I denounce the wickedness and the compromise of the Billy Graham organization, oh, you ought not to do that. If I start going down what is happening in the world today and what more especially is happening in the church today, I am told it is not loving. According to Charles Colson, we fundamentalists make an awful mistake in excluding Roman Catholicism from our definition of Bible Christianity. Because think of all the millions that we're excluding from the army of Christ. What a better job we'll do if we can add another, well, whether it's 500, 600, 700, or 800 million people to the army. He would need to go back and read about Gideon's army. That's the army God always uses. But this is the spirit of the age. Let's all get together. Let's not fight over doctrine. I was reading just these past few days that John Stott, the senior theologian of English evangelicalism, beloved also here in America, a Church of England theologian of no mean ability, and also no mean ability to compromise. And according to Stott, we can take John Wimber's Signs and Wonders movement, and we can take the most extreme in the opposite direction of the Reformed or the fundamentalists who don't want anything to do with the Signs and Wonders movement. We can bring them together. Now, he's not simply saying that there is a middle ground that they are both missing, but he's saying we can bring them together. John Wimber and this whole movement is heretical, and you don't get together with heretics. But that's not the spirit of the age. Let's get together. Peter said, we need to remember there's a fight for the faith. And unless as a church we are willing to fight for that faith, man, we're willing to fight for many other things. But we're so unwilling to take a bold stand for the faith once delivered to the saints. The fight starts right here about the Word of God itself, the place and purity of the Word of God. The apostates and the false teachers in Peter's day were attacking this, and they still do, in one or other of these ways, by denying the biblical truth outright, for example, in the person and work of Christ. by speaking their own high-sounding words and giving vent to their own very high-sounding pretensions. And then by twisting the scriptures and perverting. I listened to a charismatic liar, and I use the word deliberately, because he knew what he was doing. And he took a passage from one of Job's comforters, who was heaping guilt upon Job, knowing full well that God came along and said, "What you have said is not true." And he read this whole passage as if this were the Holy Ghost speaking to God's people. This is the standard for your life. And God said the very opposite was true. I want to tell you, my friend, that's twisting the scriptures. That's twisting the scriptures. Anytime you have either or any of all or all of these denying the biblical truth, especially in the person and work of Christ, high-sounding words, visions, views, notions, ideas that are not ultimately brought to Scripture for their entire judgment and validation, where you have a twisting of Scripture to authenticate what is otherwise clearly outside the realm of what's biblical, anytime you have any of all of those, you have apostasy. This is an ongoing fight, and Christians must be aware of the challenge. Now, this goes much wider. I've mentioned just a few elements that we need to be willing to battle today. But you can see the characteristics of the apostasy of Peter's day, and they're all too obvious today. And sometimes in the most unlikely places. In chapter 2, verse 1, denying the Lord that bought them, you have a denial of the lordship of their professed Savior. And I'll tell you what worries me, that has become accepted orthodoxy across a broad sweep of American fundamentalism. You can deny the personal lordship of Him whom you name to be your Savior. Peter says that is apostasy. If He's not your Lord, don't you think for a minute He's your Savior. You cannot separate the Lordship from the Saviorship of Christ. And then again, making the gospel an excuse for sin. We as Protestants, and especially as Reformed, we believe in the gospel of free grace. We're saved by grace without works. Does that mean if I'm, according to Romans chapter 8, foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified in Christ, does that mean that that was all totally without any influence from what I did or what I ever would do? Yes, it does. Therefore, it is argued, and of course, in a sense, this is true. Nothing that I can do could install me into grace. Nothing that I can do can take me out of grace. Therefore, it is argued, let's sin all we like. After all, we're safe, we're secure. Grace is all sufficient. Grace saves, grace keeps, grace presents us faultless in glory. Nothing I can do can change that. Therefore, let us live like the devil. That's the way these people were arguing. You see how it worked out in their lives? They were twisting Paul's doctrine of grace, and they were living in the most wicked filthiness. Peter speaks of them as spots and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. He says they have eyes full of adultery. Actually, he's saying they have their eyes full of an adulteress. This is a very, very bleak picture, and it's a very blunt statement. He's saying, look, these fellas are so filthy and so wicked. And here they are at the Lord's table. Here they are at the church. And they're so rotten to the core that every woman they look on is like an adulteress. And their thoughts are always in the gutter. And their actions follow their thoughts. And they're dragging others with them. That's his description of them. And all the time saying we're covered by grace, Peter says they'd be damned in hell. They'd be damned in hell. They'd be destroyed. That's the evidence of the whole second chapter. God will destroy them. I'll tell you why. The grace of God is without our works. And I want to tell you the grace of God will always produce works. And it will produce a love of grace and a love of the God of grace. Always. Then there's another mark of the apostasy in chapter 2, verse 15. And that is selling the eternal for the temporal. Selling the eternal for the temporal. Look again in chapter 2, verse 15, and you'll see another mark of the apostasy. It is advocating friendship with the world, compromise with the world, just as Balaam brought the Moabites into the camp of Israel and led to the compromise and the wickedness of Baal Peor. So we have people today knock down all the barriers with the world. Christians, you look like the world, you walk like the world, you talk like the world. We have those who rejoice that they look like rock stars. Some of them say they are converted rock stars and they want to look the same. Why? Because it gives us an in with that crowd. My friend, I want to tell you, friendship with the world is enmity with God. That's true of you and it's true of me. James tells us it's spiritual adultery, which means it's idolatry. It's apostasy. And then there's another mark of apostasy. And that is making salvation merely this worldly and not ultimately otherworldly. That's why we read in chapter 3, verse 3, that they're scoffers. They're scoffing at the blessed hope. There is always this danger in the church, and you'll find it. It's very widespread. Salvation is here and now. That's the background of the social gospel movement. That's the background of the social justice theology. That's the background of the liberation theology. We're not interested in pie in the sky. We're not interested in heaven to follow. We want it here and now. Now, I'm not for one moment saying that God's people have no conscience for the social needs of men and women. The very opposite has been proven true. Every great advance in the social well-being of mankind has been as the result of the gospel. But never mistake the gospel for something that is merely this worldly. You can feed a man, clothe a man, educate a man, give that man a job, make his country prosperous, and still send him to hell. Now the Lord hates this apostasy, fights against it, as he did throughout the Old Testament, and he'll do it again. So what should our attitude be? Well, we have no part of it. We must be separate from it. Remember the faith, remember the foundation of the faith, remember the fight for the faith. But as you fight, remember the fruit that faith must have in you and me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.